This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
The death of everything. We'll talk about why everything seems like it's dying. We're going to talk about the 19th Amendment. We're going to have a blast on so many things tonight on I'm Right. The death of everything. I talk about this a lot, but stay with me here. Just walk with me through this. Does it feel like things around you, everything around you, is getting a little bit worse? Big things and little things. Does it feel like that? Does it feel like there are more incidents with, trains than we've ever had before? More plants being lit on fire? But okay, those are the big things. Let's set that aside. Does it feel like customer service has gone downhill? Waiters, waitresses. Does it feel like the quality of the goods and services you've purchased, does it feel like that's gone downhill? And I could cite for you education statistics right now on kids graduating from high school or college, and I could cite for you the declining rapidly reading levels in math, but I don't really have to do that for you. Have you interacted with somebody who has graduated high school recently? Does that strike you as somebody who is as ready and prepared for life as you were when you graduated high school? You feel it, don't you? I know you do, because everyone I talk to does, and I do. It feels like everything around you is dying, decaying a little bit. But why is that? Why does it feel like everything's dying? Because it is. Well, I'm going to explain why. Let's do a little story, all right? A fake story, but it's a story. Me. Talk about me for a moment. I'm starting a home building company, Jesse's Construction Company. But when I go out there and I look for the guy who's going to do the drywall, the guy who's going to pour the concrete, when I go look for the superintendent who's going to run the jobs, when I go find the office administrator, she's got to handle all the paperwork, accounts payable, accounts receivable. When I'm staffing up Jesse's Construction Company, Jesse's Home Builders, you know what I'm looking for? Am I looking for that guy who's been pounding nails for 10 years? He knows what he's doing. Am I looking for the superintendent? He's been doing this 20 years. He knows the ins and outs. Am I looking for the secretary who can type 10,000 words a minute and knows Excel? No. You see, at Jesse's Home Builder, we focus on redheads. We only want to hire redheads. You see, historically, redheads have been underrepresented in the home building industry. And so when I field resumes and when I go through the interview process, I don't want to hear about your experience. I don't want, bring me the gingers. I only want workers who will burn in the sun. Here at Jesse's Ginger Home Builders, we are going to hire redheads here. Now, let me ask you something. I know it's kind of tongue in cheek, but over time, how would things go at my company if that was the reason I hired somebody? If I placed a priority on something that didn't have anything to do with the mission of my company, how would it go? Not well. How long before there were incidents on the job site beyond sunburn? How long before I had major, major company problems because I continued to hire people who weren't good at their jobs, but I was focused on the color of their hair? How long, how quick would the product of Jesse's Ginger Home Builders, how quickly would it decay? It'd be quick, wouldn't it? Now, that stupid story I just told you that's obviously fake, expand that out to an entire nation. Because that is currently the stated, oftentimes written down policy of virtually every major institution in the United States of America. Not just the U.S. government, but most definitely there. From the U.S. government, corporations on down, over and over and over and over again, you will hear about diversity. Look how diverse we are. We're super diverse, bragging about how diverse we are. Why do we have a press secretary? Remember, the press secretary, her job is to be the voice of the administration. It wouldn't matter if she had eight eyes, and was a human incarnate spider, if she could communicate properly, she would be qualified for the job. It is the only thing that matters. Doesn't matter if she's 8 feet tall, 2 feet tall, black, white, Asian, no matter what, she is the, her job is to be the voice of the White House. That is her job. We call her affectionately here on the show Corinne Diversity Hire, because she got hired because she's a black lesbian. She can't speak in complete sentences. Credit to Corinne, though, she seems to know that, because when pressed at all about the disaster that is the Biden administration, look at what she brags about.
I want to take the opportunity to lay out how diverse the president's cabinet has been, how diverse the president's administration has been. The cabinet is majority people of color for the first time in history. The cabinet is majority female for the first time in history. A majority of White House senior staff identify as female. 40% of White House senior staff identify as part of the racially diverse communities. And a record 7 assistants to the president are openly LGBTQ+. So again, this is something that the president prides himself on. That he actually has taken action to show the diversity of this administration.
Jesse's Ginger Home Builders was a funny little ha-ha, tongue-in-cheek way to open the show, but it does get a little bit more sobering when you realize the entire United States government is run in exactly that way. When they're sitting people down for interviews with critically important positions in this government, positions that affect your life, my life, positions that may cost lives. They don't sit them down and say, okay, what job are you here for? What are your qualifications for the job? They look at a room full of people and they say, wow, no, get rid of Whitey. Hey, white guy's got to go. Hey, we've already got too many Asians. We got to dump him. There's a woman there. Do we have enough women yet? Oh, we're not at half staff for the women. Let's get rid of the men. They place a priority on what doesn't matter at all. And that's why everything's dying. I had a pilot write to me, email to me. I have a bunch of pilots who email in ever since I went off about the vaccine mandates. We've developed a pilot viewership here for the show when I'm writing. I had a pilot email in to me and warn me about air travel in this country. You see airline after airline after airline. You can go see all their advertisers now. We need more women. We're hiring more black people. We're getting more and more diverse in the cockpit, openly bragging about stashing people in the cockpit with 300 lives at their fingertips, and their qualification is the color of their skin or their gender. And oh, by the way, it's not just pilots, it's the air traffic controllers. And, well, you know what? Here's a better example. I want you to sit back and breathe this in. It's going to be difficult to watch. I'm just warning you right now. I want you to breathe this in. The FAA, kind of a big deal. The big cheese nominated to run the FAA. Here's a minute or two worth of the person who's going to be running things.
So, Mr. Washington, can you quickly tell me what airspace requires an ADS-B transponder?
Not sure I can answer that question right now.
So what are the 6 types of special use airspace that protect this national security that appear on FAA charts?
Sorry, Senator, I cannot answer that question.
Okay, so what are the operational limitations of a pilot flying under basic med?
Senator, I'm not a pilot, so...
So can you tell me what causes an aircraft to spin or to stall?
Again, Senator, I'm not a pilot.
The death of everything. And I want to be clear, because I could go through the reason the Rear Admiral Buttigieg was hired. I could go through all the Biden administration, but I want to make sure that I'm clear about this. Yes, it's pervasive throughout the U.S. government, from the FAA to the military. This is going on everywhere. But this has infected the entire nation. As Harvard crowds out the qualified in order to get in more unqualified so they can be more diverse, Columbia University already announced they're ditching the ACT and SAT. Why? Because they're bad tests? No, because black people weren't doing well enough on them, so they dumped it. This is going on in corporate America. I already brought up the airline industry, but it's so much worse than that. Point after point after point. Cultural institution after cultural institution after cultural institution. They have all renewed their focus. So they now focus on what doesn't matter, and they sacrifice what does matter. And that's why now you regularly run into utter morons in critical positions of power because they were hired for reasons other than their qualifications. And now you know why I call it the death of everything, because it will slowly but surely kill our entire nation. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am most definitely right. Now, speaking of Jesse's ginger construction company, we got a ginger on next. Maybe we'll ask her about that. Maybe she's sunburned. I don't know. We'll talk about the 19th Amendment with Josie and some other things. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Let's get to a factory seconds sale. Now, what is that? Well, you already know about Grip 6, the greatest wallets ever. You already know. You can get them. There are several different designs, by the way. American flag one is my preferred. You can get them with or without the loop. I have both. I think I prefer the loop, but I don't know. The other one's a little slicker. They have the best socks. They have the best belts. That's what you get at Grip 6. Well, they have factory seconds right now, and that means there's a limited supply, but now through March 15th, they're 40% off factory seconds. If you've been wanting a wallet, a belt, socks, whatever, now, 40% off. Go scrounge them up before they're gone. Grip6.com/Jesse, all right? Grip6.com/Jesse. Save some money, especially in this economy. We'll be back to talk about the 19th Amendment next.
Movement to repeal the 19th Amendment for women to have the right to vote. What do I think of that? I think I hear something like that every day around here.
I knew she was a big fan of the show. Joining me now, my friend Josie Glaback. You see her all the time on Tim Cash. She's known as the redheaded libertarian on there. Josie, what is this 19th Amendment Nancy's talking about?
Hi, Jesse. So the 19th Amendment is the right of the citizens of the United States to vote, and it shall not be infringed based on their sex.
What are your thoughts on it?
I think that we should abolish it. I think it was a mistake. and I could write an entire Harlequin romance on all the reasons it was a mistake, but I've narrowed it down to about 3 to 5 really good reasons on why it was a mistake. So, I mean, to start, in addition to women's suffrage, the size and the scope of the government has grown substantially more than any other period in history since adding the 19th Amendment. The 19th Amendment itself expands the federal government because it infringes on the 10th Amendment, which is the states' rights to decide how to run their own elections. In the original Constitution, the founders don't even talk about voting because that's a state's issue. It's not a federal issue. So it's a 9th and a 10th Amendment issue. And then finally, third, women are emotional. Like, we're train wrecks. Like, why? Why would you want to fight anything? Women are supposed to be emotional train wrecks, too. We're meant to bring balance to relationships with our nurturing and our intuition. And the founders kind of saw it as one family, one vote. So they just decided, you know, the men, they can think logically, broadly about abstract ideas and deduce a suitable conclusion where women might not be able to. And, you know, we can look and see evidence of this looking at, say, the 2016 election. They did an exit poll, and if only women voted, there would have been 458 electoral votes for Hillary Clinton. That is insane. This shows that we cannot be trusted.
Okay, Josie, let me ask you about that in all seriousness, because I've seen these exit polls and I know what the numbers are. It's about 60% of women vote Democrat, about 60% of men vote Republican. If it were, in all honesty, if it was only men voting, this country would be blood red, just a sea of red. And if it was only women voting, we would be a full-blown communist nation. But why? Why is that the case? I'm not a woman. You are. Why do they walk into the polls? I know this doesn't apply to you. And they hammer that Democrat vote the majority of the time. Explain it to me.
Women are more easily manipulated than men. So Democrats employ an appeal to emotion and mob mentality. And And it sways the vote in their favor, and they know that. But Democrats, they actually loathe women. They hate women, which is why they keep putting men in our spaces and men in the spaces of young girls, because they actually don't actually like women. But they do really like to hold our identity hostage for when they want an abortion vote or when they want an equal pay. If you believe in the equal pay myth, then you get to be a woman. See, so they like to... They like to do things like that, even though they hate women. They like to use our identity against us, and we're easily manipulated. So why not? Why not do that?
One more thing. The second gentleman was on TV recently. This is what he had to say.
There's too much of toxicity. It's masculine toxicity out there. And we've kind of confused what it means to be a man, what it means to be masculine.
Is there too much toxic masculinity in this country?
This is the iron law of woke projection. Toxic masculinity is simply the absence of masculinity, just like toxic femininity is the absence of classic femininity. The most toxic men that I know are feminists. They are male feminists, and they have faked their way into the hierarchy of males by appealing to women, and it's dangerous and it's toxic, and the only way to cure toxic masculinity is with traditional masculinity, with protection and providing that traditional men give the women in their life.
Josie, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Speaking of men, and this will apply to some women too, but this is mainly a man problem. PTSD is something that men struggle with mightily when they get back from combat. And it's hard to explain, but it is difficult trying to take yourself out of that environment with that priority on your life and moving back into just a normal world. It is difficult to put down the bombs and bullets and everything else and all the misery over there and then just be dad again or an employee again or a son again. It's hard. I love Boulder Crest because they've chosen to tackle this mission and bring these guys back into the world. Go to bouldercrest.org, and I want you to look them up first. Look up their mission. Look up Operation Struggle. Look how they're coming alongside these guys, and they're not handing them a bottle of pills. They're bringing them back into the world. And help if you can. They need your donations. That's how they do it. They need your volunteer hours. BoulderCrest.org. All right? We'll be back. You know what hurts? Consider this a personal segment. So we're going to talk about COVID and getting what we voted for. We're going to talk about a few things right now, but let me just pour my soul out here for you. This is my therapy, doing my show for you every single night. I probably need a lot more therapy. Anyway, you know what hurts me? What hurts me is this. I was raised patriotic. We weren't really a political family at all. We never talked politics, but it was just inherent in my house. It was just something we knew instinctively. America was the best. And I would read endless books when I was a kid about war heroes and things Americans did here and things. And it was just patriotism was one of those things. We were proud of America. When I was a young kid, we were still against the Soviet Union and they were the dirty, corrupt commies. And we're here, the land of the free, and forget them. And, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe that was your life, too. 4th of July, hot dogs, crying during the national anthem. That was how I lived. And then I joined the Marines one day. Loved my country so much. Happy to serve it. Happy to die for it. And I have, if I'm being honest with you, looked down most of my life on European nations. Now, a lot of that's good-natured, fairly good-natured. We've all made a France joke at some point in time in our lives. But setting the good-natured stuff aside, I would look at European nations. Most of them are quasi-socialist nations now. And I would look at them and think to myself, man, they are screwed up. Man, they are corrupt. Oh, did you see that election? Wow, that's embarrassing. And as an American, I would look down my nose at them. And the truth is this. Gosh, this hurts. The truth is, COVID, I have called it many things, but what it really was an incredible revelation for me. Hopefully it was for you too, because there were a lot of lessons to be learned there. But COVID revealed to me that the United States of America, as much as I still love it and always will, is actually one of, if not the most corrupt, broken power in the Western world. How much does that hurt? Novak Djokovic, you know who he is? He's a tennis player. I don't watch tennis. I just know his name, Novak Djokovic. He very famously won't get vaccinated. He doesn't want to put that thing in his body. I guess he doesn't feel like stroking out at the age of 40. So he didn't get it. He's not allowed to compete here. Requested a waiver to compete here. It was denied because the United States of America still has a vaccine requirement for foreigners. Do you know that this guy can go play tennis in virtually every one of those European powers we used to make fun of? But the United States of America, sitting on all the mountains of data that show, yes, even after your 19th booster shot, you'll still get COVID, you'll still spread COVID. Therefore, there's no chance, there's no point whatsoever to a vaccine mandate. The only point in a mandate, not that there should ever be one anyway, would be if you stop the spread. But we've known forever it doesn't work. We know it wears off. We know all this data. The United States of America still looked and they said no. Man, if that doesn't bring home where we are, if that doesn't bring home who we are a nation now run by a government corporate cartel, a partnership of the governments and the big corporations who've aligned themselves with our government. And none of the people who run this nation now give a second thought to what is good or what is right or what is patriotic or what you want or what I want. The thought never even crosses their mind. Because we are a late-stage republic, all the government corporate cartel does is come up with brand new schemes for how they can dip their fingers in the treasury and stuff as much gold in their pockets as Rome burns around us. I mean, the Dr. Fauci news. You see this Dr. Fauci news? But first of all, let's be clear about something. It was very obvious early on that COVID probably came from a lab. It was probably a Chinese virology lab and COVID leaked out of it intentionally or accidentally, but that was pretty obvious early on. But remember, it was almost bizarre how much the powers that be tried to tamp down any of those talks. Why? Remember when they told us it was Ebola bat soup? Well, they have these markets where they serve exotic animals. That's probably what it was. It was bats. It's probably the bats, guys. And Dr. Fauci, you see, courtesy of House Republicans, they uncovered a paper Fauci was involved in, a paper Fauci approved of. He had final approval of this paper. And the paper said, look, we know, this is back in February 2020. Hey, we know. No lab leak. That's ridiculous. I'm Fauci. The final word, no lab leak, even stood up at the podium and said this.
There was a study recently that we can make available to you where a group of highly qualified evolutionary virologists looked at the sequences there and the sequences in bats as they evolve. And the mutations that it took to get to the point where it is now is totally consistent with a jump of a species from an animal to a human.
Notice how he disassociated himself with the paper that he actually approved of. There's talks now of arresting him for perjuring himself. But you see, the truth is, this country is so beyond broken that as we got a new virus, the people who run this country, not other countries, not China, not even those corrupt European countries you and I have made fun of our whole life, the people who run the United States of America when the virus got here, They didn't care about saving lives. They didn't care about keeping America's economy intact, worrying about our school children. They worried about protecting China and destroying Donald Trump. That's how irreparably broken our nation is. Isn't that a bitter pill to swallow? I can't stop thinking about it. Jeffrey Zucker, former head of CNN, came out there and he said, hey, he basically told his people at CNN, hey, dismiss this lab leak stuff. What? Why? Well, that's what Trump said. So Trump said something accurate, and an entire news network was forbidden from talking about it simply because Trump said it. And let's finish with this really quickly here. I love to do a little alternate history from time to time. Do we realize how much differently we would have handled COVID if Hillary Clinton had been elected president? Now, I don't want that, obviously. I'm much, much happier we had Trump, but think how they would have handled everything. They would have blamed the whole thing on China without hesitation. They wouldn't want it to fall on Hillary. Anytime an alternate treatment was made available, maybe ivermectin, hydrochloroquine, whatever, Hillary Clinton would have been praised as the inventor of the treatment, the savior. Look at the lives she's saving. Instead, because all that stuff came up under Trump, it was all shot down immediately. We have a country that is so broken and corrupt, they actually murdered people. Our government, corporate cartel, murdered people to protect China and destroy Donald Trump's presidency. That's a tough pill to swallow, isn't it? Maybe it's not tough for you, it's tough for me. We're going to ask Aaron about that and other things in just a moment. Nevertheless, how we handled COVID, how the rest of the world handled COVID, has the world on the brink of war and famine. So that's lovely. Have you made any preparations for that? For things going really bad? For supply chains not being disrupted, for supply chains being blown up? Probably actually blown up. Have you made any preparations? You know, My Patriot Supply has emergency three-month food kits ready to go, right? They're sitting there ready to go. They ship fast, they ship free, they ship anonymously. And when you get your three-month food kit for everyone in your home needs one, please keep it quiet. Don't put it on social media. Don't brag about it. Hey, look at my Instagram. You don't want to be known. If things get bad, God forbid, you don't want to be known as the guy who has all the emergency food. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. They're giving out $200 worth of free survival gear with it now. MyPatriotSupply.com, three-month food kit, $200 worth of survival gear. Go now. We'll be back.
This question about the Wuhan lab, we know that it's been debunked.
Those same agencies now have been tapped with investigating one of Trump world's most favorite conspiracy theories.
And there is simply no reason to believe that that is the case. There is no empirical evidence to verify that.
Coming up with a conspiracy theory to try and foment xenophobia with respect to the Chinese has just as much factual support as taking Clorox.
One eternity later.
The FBI has for quite some time now assessed that the origins of the pandemic are most likely a potential lab incident in Wuhan.
Oh, joining me now, Aaron McIntyre, great host on The Blaze and columnist. All right, Aaron, I'm trying to figure out the why. Okay, we all know the media is a bunch of communist apparatchiks. I know that, you know that. We talk about that all the time. Why the reversal now? I've been brewing on this for a couple days. They're now slowly starting to leak out something that all the conspiracy theorists were saying 2 years ago. It's not because they suddenly became good people. All these people are the human antichrist. I want to know why they're saying this stuff now.
Well, these guys know that the state of exception is the key to grabbing power. And so while everything was crazy, while everyone didn't know what to do, while the emergency was in effect, they knew the most important thing was to secure power while they could and then reconcile the narrative later. So they needed to crush Trump. They needed to crush anything he suggested about the origin of the virus, possible treatments, anything like that. And then slowly after the fact, they can go ahead and reconcile things to reality. It's dangerous to just leave lies out there long term. They know eventually they have to drip this in piece by piece, bit by bit, so people don't get too angry, too upset. But they also know they have to give some level of truth. They can't just maintain this long term. So I think the reason we're seeing this, and it's just one of many truths, Jesse, like, you know, masking, vaccines, side effects, all this stuff, all of this has been slowly but surely admitted over time by the powers that be. And this is just another example of something that had to be reconciled. We had to get it close to reality after the regime had already secured the power it wanted out of the first fake narrative.
So true. Aaron, okay, I know this is a little off the wall. I probably should have texted you beforehand, but I'm just going to roll with it now because I've gone through this in my head about how this pandemic would have been better, honestly better, if Hillary Clinton had won in 2016. Now, no, I don't wish Hillary had won. I'm glad Trump won. But I think about COVID, and I think about how the media and our medical establishment would have treated potential treatments that were already available out there. I think about how they would have downplayed the death total because of Hillary's great leadership. And couldn't you, in some weird alternate history, argue the country would have been much better off with that hag as president than we were as Trump, simply by how they treated COVID?
I think that's exactly right, and it shows the rot of our institutions. The fact that our institutions are willing to lie and hurt people, to destroy people's lives, to discredit themselves, just to get rid of a president who they thought was probably cruising towards re-election with a strong economy. If it had been Hillary in place and they had liked the president who had been there at the time, I think you're absolutely right. We would have gotten a much more measured understanding of the pandemic. People would have been more truthful about its origins, about available treatments, the efficacy of different things. Pharmaceuticals that were going to be applied. I think that we would have seen a much different response if we had had a president that the media wanted to keep in place as opposed to one that they were dedicated to removing.
Aaron, speaking along these same lines, I saw some tennis star, Novak something, I don't know, I don't freaking watch tennis, but he couldn't come do tennis here because we still have a vaccine mandate in place. And all these other European nations do not, I mean, quasi-socialist European nations do not. And this is something else that's hit me in the last 2 years. The country I love, the country I would die for, is actually one of the most corrupt in the Western world. And I've got to be honest with you, man, that is hard to stomach. I'm used to making fun of France, right? I'm an American. But the truth is, we are one of the worst on the planet, and man, it hurts.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that conservatives are natural patriots, and they should be. You should be proud of the place you live. You should be proud of what it does. And in the past, you had every reason to be. But I think it's increasingly clear, unfortunately, to people on the right that those in charge have twisted what's happening in our country, and it's very difficult. But I think that we should remember, we should not act like the left, you know, treating soldiers from Vietnam terribly. We should remember that the country is still a great place, and it still contains amazing people. But has to be fought for. It can't be surrendered to these people.
Let's go back to the FBI, because Christopher Wray's been out there a lot recently, and I can't help but notice that he's been out there a lot recently, Aaron. I don't remember the last time I saw a television interview with him over the last couple years. I can't get him off my TV now. What's going on with that?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm not sure why, again, they've brought him to the forefront. Part of it is laundering this COVID narrative, but it also seems like the FBI is playing a very central role in the regime's punishment of those that oppose that the FBI specifically targets. For instance, Catholics that attend the Latin Mass and more traditional Mass, because it might be full of people who don't agree with the regime. It specifically goes out of its way to punish pro-life protesters. So we know that the FBI is highly politicized. We know that it's used regularly by the Biden DOJ as a weapon to punish those that disagree with it politically. And I think that Christopher Wray is fully aware of his role in this, even if he would never say it out loud.
What do we do with this organization? What can we do? Now, I know what I want to do, obviously. I would like to delete it off the planet, but that's probably not realistic given the low-T GOP that's the opposition party. What can we do?
I think that's got to be it. I think you're right about its political feasibility, but really, how can any part of this organization be trusted? I don't understand how you can reform the FBI at this point. People know it's specifically designed as a Praetorian guard to protect the left and the Democratic Party. People know that it's explicitly political. People know that it does not enforce the law equally, that it directly ignores the actions of people like Antifa. It doesn't even count BLM and Antifa as left-wing violence while massaging domestic terror statistics just so it can pump up fear and attacks against the people that it doesn't like. So at this point, I think the FBI does legitimately have to be dismantled. That's a gargantuan thing. It seems almost politically impossible. But at this point, any GOP member, any Republican who's not talking about this simply isn't worth their salt.
Yeah, well, sadly, that's probably going to be pretty much all of them. All right, Aaron, I have to admit something. I call it the system, but I think what you call it is actually better. You call it the total state. I've brought that up a bunch. I love that you call it's really, really appropriate for what we have, and you have something new up on your Substack about the total state. What is it?
Yeah, chapter 7 of my book just went up on the Substack there, The Total State, and this one is about how the total state engineers its subjects. It talks about why the total state, why our system, our regime uses therapeutic treatments and therapeutic language, why it needs to transfer all these things that used to once be moral deficiencies, moral failings, and take them out of the realm of the religious, out of the realm of the moral, and put them into the realm of the scientific, and apply these different scientific and medical treatments to things so that they can slowly but surely produce the type of people that the total state wants to govern.
Why does the total state want a society full of transgender people? They very clearly do. They want the whole society gay, trans, whatever. That's obvious to anyone paying attention. Why?
Because it's important for people not to have moral or cultural particularities. Our managerial state, our total state, wants to be able to control the most people possible. And people who have particular communities they're loyal to, particular religions, different groups they're loyal to, they're not as easy to manage. They won't necessarily go along with everything you want them to do. And so the state needs to go ahead and turn everyone into a gray goo. No one has a specific gender. No one has a specific religion. No one has a specific community with which they belong. And so everyone can simply be fed the exact same products and they can be handled with the exact same laws and the exact same thing. There's no tradition. There's nothing that would make you separate and apart that the state would have to account for and accommodate. Instead, everyone can be managed the exact same way. And that's why they need to go ahead and deracinate people, separate them from their more traditional identities into this new homogenous one.
Aaron, appreciate you, man. Come back soon.
Thank you for having me.
Man, it's right. He's right. All right. You know what? You're going to want to stick around for the next one. Before we get there, though, you want to stick around for this. I know what's here. I'm well aware that we're all going to be changing our clocks here in a week. Less than a week. Dang it. So that means spring is here, which means you're going to walk out to your car. And you're going to, if you park it outside, you're going to run your finger over the hood of your car, and you're going to have this film of yellow dust in there, and you're just going to look at it, and your eyes are going to begin watering. I know it's allergy season. Why don't you get ahead of that and stop taking pills for it? Why don't you go get yourself the greatest air purifier ever? You know what? Make it three of them. I don't even own allergy medication anymore, thanks to Eden Pure Thunderstorm. They have three packs. $200 off right now. I keep one where I sleep. I keep one where my boys sleep. I keep one in the general living area. Sometimes we move that to the kitchen, depending on if the wife burnt dinner. Anyway, EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse, gets you $200 off that three pack. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back. We're going to keep talking about the elder abusers in this country. With Joe Biden, you see, everyone could see Joe Biden was not doing okay mentally. And everyone knew that Jill Biden was clearly a main driving force behind this at best. At worst, well, I'm not even going to go into it. Worst, Jill Biden is behind this, a lot of it. At least she hasn't put a stop to it at all. And so that was an odd case. It's an odd case what we're seeing. The president embarrasses himself every day. And then there's Joe Biden. Then Gisele Fetterman. She's covering for her brain-damaged husband. And now it seems like it's a trend. But I want to go back to the Joe Biden thing for a moment. But before we do that, let's do this really quickly. Let's talk about dogs. We love them. I love mine. I love Fred. I've been very open about Fred's digestive issues that he used to have before we started giving him rough greens. But I want to explain something quickly. Why did your parents make you eat your vegetables when you were a kid? Just for funsies? No, they had you do that because there were vitamins. There were things in there that you needed that you weren't getting. Your dog needs nutrition that he possibly has never had in his life, because dog food is dead food. Rough greens is that nutrition. A hyperactive dog or a too lethargic dog, coats getting dull, digestive issues, whatever the case may be, your dog might have vitamin and mineral deficiencies and probably does. Get some rough greens and pour it on your dog's food. It's not dog food, it's a supplement. It's all natural. Pour it on the food. Free jumpstart trial bag. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse, all right? roughgreens.com/Jesse. Now, this was an interesting little tidbit from Joe.
And I had these terrible headaches, was diagnosed with having anyway, they had to take the top of my head off a couple times, see if I had a brain.
What? And then, that's interesting when you see this little interview with Jill Biden, which I still don't understand why the First Lady continues to give interviews as if she's in charge of anything, but Jill Biden sat down and talked about this.
Nikki Haley, one of the Republican candidates, is calling for mental competency tests for those politicians over the age of 75. What do you think about that?
Ridiculous.
Would your husband ever take one of those?
I mean, we haven't even discussed. We would never even discuss something like that.
So, Joe Biden's wife watches him routinely embarrass himself in front of the entire planet, and she doesn't think a mental competency test is even worth a discussion. Man, these women are horrible, huh? All right, we'll do it tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.